Friends, I'm turning this morning to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 2. I'm beginning from verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, thou judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does not. That's the same thing. And this morning, the subject for our thinking is God's impartial judgment. God's impartial judgment. That is our title for this morning's gospel sermon. And I pray you in the Roman 4 and woman. It seems you know. Now, if you come back from the echo. Now, I said, my baby, now, so I can say, oh, Atimbu enye another be enim Onyankopon oni favorite ugbei ina atempe se le uti bia so God's impartial judgment. And before we go on, let me refer you back to our last time, the last time that we met in Romans chapter 1. Remember I said we are going to look at some gospel themes in this book and then learn from it. Remember, I said that Romans is where you see what the gospel is. When we talk of the gospel, it is in Romans that you see what it really is. What is the gospel? I remember I mentioned some very strong men in strong servants of God and how they were saved. Most of them were saved after reading Roman. So my prayer is that as we go through this Roman, by the time we finish, people will understand exactly what the gospel is. Then better me tell you say, Sir Roman from me, I may be sure who I did. A baby of those who enquired the same padia, a Honda will be free. Who's the only nipper, your tibia, a tibu, and your coin, any day ever back in future, a Honda will be your son, same winning everything. The last time when we came, we put very big here, only a good down for. So many now, our Romans, you know, almost Kaya, almost Vinia, and Quadi. I mean, Piper, you say, everybody be sharing, so you see it. That's what you hold my winning Quadia, and I want to think Quadia to Masia. You be kind, Roman, if you will. Now, or tea and Quadia, I say, now, last time I share, now you can say, when you go for a book for show. The last time we had the opportunity, we talked about the wrath of God and what is the cause of this wrath. Yes, we have come every for show. Then a month every for show. Ebi, I'm not using last time. Now, in now, so we came to understand that God's wrath is as a result of man abandoning God and going about things in their own way. When we read Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. He says that God created man upright, but man has invented many things. We have gone away from our Creator. We are not following His instructions. And therefore, He gave us up to face the consequences of that abandonment. So we saw that in Romans he stated all the reasons from verse 18. Let's just go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, here he's talking about, when he says ungodliness, it's how we have abandoned God, which is a sin against God. And then he talks about unrighteousness, which is also sin that we commit against each other. So these are the reasons why God's anger or God's wrath. And then he said that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Why is God saying that? He's saying that because He has shown us everything to know about Himself and the way He wants us to live. And yet, people have abandoned that. Then He said, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Then verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they would commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is a very serious sin. Now, Paul has mentioned that God's wrath is coming. And the reason is that we have abandoned Him and gone our own way. Because we have abandoned Him, He has also left us. And this is our state now. That is why men are committing these sins. So when I go to some churches and I hear them talking to people about immorality, don't do this, don't do that. They can't do it. Because the consequence of sin is what is making them do that. Abandoning God is what has taken them to that situation. Sometimes, if it hasn't happened to you, and that's what we are going to learn in chapter 2, you may think that, oh, for me, such things, I don't do them. So therefore, maybe what they are saying doesn't apply to me. The American is saying, Paul, I check him. Sir, it's not say yeah, yeah, one free when you go on Gino. Now go on so a giant. I'm a near my and fata and a yeah. And what can you manage? I'm sure so be in the home or animal because it's an emma cane or yeah bida. And also Ubusukrabia or yeah. Now one thing I'm American about this thing, when you talk about the homosexuality and all those, people will think, what's for me? That thing is far, far, far from me. I remember one of my friends in London. Those days, these things were not even common in Ghana. I remember when I went to England for the first time, I had not even heard about homosexuality. And then they were talking about this, and I remember me and that friend, we were surprised to hear that man can do this, things that an animal don't do. Men are doing it. Friends, just some few months ago, that same friend of mine that we were talking about, that we saw that as thing that will never happen. His son, who was born in London, was leading the demonstration for gay people. The same man that I was discussing, the same Ghanaian. So friends, don't think that if it hasn't happened to you, you think that for you, you are free. This is the state of man. And we must pray that God will take us out of that state. These are the things that brings God's anger. So now we are going to see what happens after God's anger in chapter 2. Now when you talk to people about salvation, when you say people should be saved, they think you are insulting them. People don't like the word saved. Everybody who goes to church thinks that he's saved. Obi Mbeka Obeka Jen said, who are enkwajie? See, most of them, who cast Obi Ezo Nya enkwajie, also Obi Mbeka sorry, Obi Ene Hon Ma, Obi Ezo Nya enkwajie. But we are going to learn today that everybody will be judged. So when Paul starts from chapter 2, and he said, therefore, after all what he has said in chapter 1, now he says, therefore. So that connects what Paul is going to say, what Paul is going to say in chapter 2, connects with what he said in chapter 1. Oh, he said, Paul, all starts in chapter 2, no? Or see, NT, maybe a saint, like I said, or can't you have to add your kind in chapter 1? So, Esan said, Bonea Menipa, are you saint, no? That's what Paul is saying. So he said, therefore, whoever you are that will think you are judging other people, you will be judged. So he's connecting us to the chapter 1. So what he's saying is that what he said was true with the people in chapter 1 and also true the people that he's going to mention in chapter 2. They are also without excuse. We are going to learn that first in chapter 1 he was talking more about Gentiles, about unbelievers. But now, you see that he's going to turn the focus, the attention, on another group of people in chapter 2. Chapter 1 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You see, it is not only this sense. Even people, there are people who are also turning the righteousness of God, the word of God, into something else. Wrong interpretation of scriptures, willfully, to suit what they want to promote. I remember last week or so, I had an encounter with a pastor. He was contributing to our platform, and at a point, he said that as a Christian, if you have a problem, don't pray to God, but rather shout to the problem, speak to the problem, and it will go. You see, and I wrote back to him and I said, I don't agree with what he's saying. Then, why should Christ say that, cast your burdens upon me, or come to me, all those who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest? Why is he telling us to pray to him? If he wants us to speak to our problem, and it became a big debate, other pastors were supporting him, many, many pastors were supporting him. But it's a wrong interpretation. And they based their argument on where Christ ordered the storm to stop. So then I asked him, so are you saying that you are Christ? Or at your level of faith, have you ever shouted on a problem and the problem was gone? You see, all kinds of things are going on. People are turning the word of God into something else. Both unbelievers and believers, so-called Christians, are doing this. They are twisting the word of God. And these are all the things that God is saying that makes him angry. And that's why his wrath is upon us. So that therefore, when you say that therefore thou art in the scripture, but oh thou, that implies that every person who knows the truth and twists it will also be judged. The same as the person who doesn't know. And we know that in this world there are so many people who don't appear to be like committing adultery or all the known big sins which people identify as sins, and who people see him or her as a religious person. He goes to church. Some are even preaching. Like I've just said, this man has been a preacher for some time. And people see those people as those people who are also not going to be judged. As for them, they are already in the books of God. And that's what's happening in Paul's days. In Paul's days, they were the Jews that God called. Everybody knew that these are the people that God has called. In our time, it's all professing Christians. Everybody says, I'm a Christian. They make an example, Paul and many more na ye wo jiu fo a on de hu no se jiu fo ni ni ye wo de omo te obi en ni mo mu ma ye ye wi ase no se se ni jiu o gentle ye nyina yaka bo obi aso e piso ni apart from those who say they are Muslims or traditionalists and all the rest, everybody says I'm a Christian. It is the ye 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 cha no e ma ye hu no omo ye papa e no omo ye papa. So now let's come to our chapter for today, chapter 2. I'm sure some of you remember the biblical story of David when he sinned against, when he took somebody's wife and eventually killed the husband. I'll just read it to you. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's just turn there quickly. Second Samuel chapter 12. And that is after David has committed this adultery. And he said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and he grew up together with him, and with his children he did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man that had done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I will moreover have given unto thee such and such things. You see here, when David heard it, he shouted that that man must be punished. See, forgetting that he has done the same thing. So now Nathan told David that you are the man. You are the man that I'm talking about. You took somebody's wife, committing adultery, and killing the person's husband, murder. So you are the man I'm talking about. But you see, at that time, David thought he is a man of God's own heart. And therefore, he was not part of the people that God would go to God. The reason why I'm telling you this is that there are many people who go to church these days, and they think that because they go to church, or they were raised up by Christian parents, they are beyond judgment. And this is where Paul is going to explain to us that whoever you are, you will be judged according to your works in this world. So he said, you David, you had Uriah killed to try and cover your sin. So this is what God says as you tell you. So sometimes we have the same problem. We seem not to look at our own sins, but we can see the sins of others. We talk about people who don't come to church because we see them on the street. We think that they are the ones who are going to be judged. No, judgment starts from God's own house. So we should be ready that we must make sure that our relationship with God is solid. Otherwise, our coming to church will be in vain. It is not your coming to church, it's not how much you know about scriptures that will save you from the judgment to come. But God is holy, righteous, and a perfect judge. You see, he sees everything. He sees everything that we do, the secret sin that we commit, things that are in our minds. God sees them all. And that is why our title for today is God's impartial judgment. The judgment that is going to come as a result of the consequences of sin, it will be impartial. Everybody will be judged, no matter who we are, where you are from, how religious you are, or how you think you are. God sees your sin, and God will judge you according to your sin. As I've just said, last week, Paul was emphasizing towards sin and sinners. He says, every sin will be judged. Now, this week, he's going to continue the same thing, but the message is going to say has changed a little bit. The focus has changed. Last week, Paul was talking about godless people. People who don't even want to have anything at all to do with God throughout their life. Yesterday, when we went on visitation, and I was trying to speak to a young man, he didn't even want to hear about God. He didn't want to hear anything that we wanted to tell him, and it was so sad. But eventually, we were able to talk to him anyway. Our prayer is that what we said may go a long way to convict him. So Paul was first talking about those who don't want to know anything about God at all, who didn't know God and abandoned God. But now, he's talking about those who claim to know God and yet continue committing sins, and yet not showing clearly that they are with God. So God's judgment will be impartial. Those who are religious will be judged. And that is what he says from verse 1 of the Romans that we just read. He said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art, thou judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, thou the same thing. But you see, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The fact that God has been quiet for some time does not mean that God will not judge us. But he is giving us time to repent. That is why God has not come now to judge people. But we know he will come eventually, because we had the same thing with Noah, same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. It took a long time, but eventually God came. So we should not take advantage that because God has not come, and we think that because we come to church every day and go, God will not judge us. God will judge us. So when you say those who think that they are religious, we are talking about people who think that they follow God because they come to church. Some are even joining groups in the church. Some are actively even involved in some church services. And yet, your heart will not be clean before God. This is what Paul is talking about now. It is all about your heart before God. How God sees you. Not what you do to others. People in your locality may say, oh, this is a very religious person. He goes to church every Sunday. He's doing this, he's doing that. Fine. But what about between you and God? Your heart, is your heart sincere before God? Has your heart been changed? Have you been given a new heart? That God see you as Christ? Those are the things that is going to be used in our judgment. So, Paul is here saying that your religion or your religiosity does not save you. Does not save you from the judgment that is about to come. Paul, as someone, what can he say? The fact he said, oh, but sorry, there be a... And I say, because I know you are sorry, because I know you are suffering. And no end here said, oh, the judgment didn't come. Now, you for your account, Master Moon. Only Nippa and Yakupan Kasa are afraid of from Abraham's time, and then Yakupan Fraw, almost before, and the account Master Moon. So, only no one say, once in Yakupan after a moon, Yakupan at a moon, and come. And I call HSA. Ubu or class or Yakupan, and Fraw said, you're afraid, you for no. And so, Makumamuno. Omo ye ni makwe ye esin wa nyakopon si afrew And the man for who so we Abraham as seen to know at the moment income. Son of to him, say everybody will be judged. Now Paul calls that people super Christians, people who think they are the top people when it comes to Christianity. That was what was happening in Rome. At Paul, so this letter was sent to Rome. Remember, I told you the last time that Paul was forbidden, was warned in a vision that there is trouble for him. So because of that trouble, he wrote this letter to the people of Rome. These are the people that he's talking about. They were people who thought that as for them, they were clear with God, and therefore the judgment does not cover them. But here Paul is saying that whoever you are, you don't have any excuse. You can't say because I'm a Jew, I'll not be judged. The same way we cannot say because we come to church every day, we will not be judged. You will be judged. He said, every one of you who judges is without excuse. But when you judge another, you condemn yourself. Because you come to church, you see somebody who doesn't come to church, you judge that person. He is the person who is going to be judged. No, he said that if you are doing that, you are judging yourself. Because maybe inside you, there's a secret sin that you are committing that nobody can see except God. But God sees everything. He's an all-knowing God, omniscient God. He can see everything, and he will judge you by that secret sin. And that's why he said at the end of verse 1 that they do the same thing. So those people who think that they are religious in Rome, they do the same things as those who are non-religious also do. This one, I'm saying, if you come to church and you do things that even sometimes those who are outside don't do, don't say because of your coming to church, you will be excused from the judgment of God. God said, no matter who commits those sins, the person will judge, whether you come to church or not. If you are committing those sins, if you are committing secret sins in your heart, God will judge you. And that's in verse 4, he said, don't think that because God is kind and God is waiting for a long time, God is not going to judge. And don't take that as don't despise God's goodness and his patience and his long suffering. The judgment will come one day. So if you are here, you are listening to this, that's what I'm saying, that Romans, if you take your time to read the book of Romans, you understand what exactly the gospel is. If you are here, you know God is angry with people because of all those things. And because of his anger and those things, he's going to judge. And he's going to judge impartially. He's going to judge those who don't even regard him at all, and those who regard him and yet commit serious sins in their heart. So if you are doing that, he said that you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath. That's what he said in verse 5. If you continue sinning in your heart, or even if you are taking the word of God lightly, you must be very careful because you will be judged. Then from verse 6 to 11, he talks about all people will be judged. All people will be judged. Let's see what it says there. From verse 6 to 11. He says, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patience continues in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Therefore, tribulation and anguish upon every son of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. So you see, God is going to judge us not by your religion or whatever, but how you stand before God, no matter who you are. That's the point that Apostle Paul is trying to explain here. And those who do good, those who obey God according to God's command, say they will have honor, they will have eternal life, long life, eternal life with him in heaven. He said, glory, honor, and peace to everyone that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And then, before then, those who are contentious and do not obey the truth and obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. So that is it, even if you don't obey the truth, when we are preaching that, you know, many people don't like the truth. The Bible said in the last days, people will have itchy ears. They will like the gospel that promises them prosperity and all those things. They will not hear the truth. So you will be judged if you don't want to hear the truth. If you hear the truth and you ignore it, you are suppressing your own conscience, you will be judged. Because God knows it. God knows that you know the truth. He has put it in your heart, and yet you are rejecting it. So he said that those people will also, there will be tribulation and anguish upon every son of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. And then he goes on to say what he will do to those who obey his command. Glory, honor, and peace to everyone that worketh me, and also to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. So you see, no matter who you are, it depends on how you take God's word seriously. How do you take it seriously? Are you truly born again? Ask yourself this question. Are you truly born again? Have you given your heart to God? Do you have God in your mind 24 hours as your hope and your glory? Do you believe in what Christ has come to do on the cross of Calvary? And that is your hope. Be sincere with yourself. This is a question you must ask yourself. It's not your coming to church. Your coming to church is fine. But are you having a good relationship with God? Is your heart changed? Are you prepared to serve God the way he wants you to serve him? These are the questions that you should ask yourself. And verse 11 says, for there is no favoritism with God. God does not favor anybody. Because Christ has come to die for all. He died for both the Jew and the Gentile. So it is for everyone to seek him, to believe in him, commit their lives to him, and ask him to change their heart. If you haven't done this, then don't just say because you come to church or you your name is in the book of a church. Your name must be in the book of life, and that book of life is not in any church. It's with God. So this is where you must make sure that your book your name is inside, and your name can only be inside when you have truly believed in Jesus Christ and committed your life to him and asked him to change your heart, and you are born again. That is the only way that you will be able to go through this judgment of God. Otherwise, don't think that because you come to church that is all. So everybody will be paid based on where they stand with God. Did you reject God's way, or did you embrace God's way? These are the questions that are going to be asked. And to embrace God's way is that you have given your entire life to God, and you believe that God has purchased you, and therefore you are his servant. The last time we were teaching at our Sunday school, and we were teaching them about redeem. When a slave is redeemed by somebody, the person who redeemed that person has become a master. So the slave now becomes a slave to him. We were slaves to sin. We are slaves to Satan, and God has come to redeem us from Satan. So we are for him. If you really believe that you are born again, and if you are in that situation, you will never take the word of God lightly. You will take it seriously. You will see it as number one. This evening, God will be talking about faithfulness in God's service. If you think of what God has done for you, when God was going to bring the people from Israel, he said, let them go and worship me. God did not come to redeem you for you to have your own life. He came to redeem you to serve him, to worship him, to take his word seriously. So if you have not you have not gotten to that stage between you and God, friends, once you are not dead, there's time for you to seek him seriously and let him come and change your heart. Then from verse 12 to 16, he's talking about faithful people who will be justified. Those who are faithful, they will be justified. Let's turn there from 12 to 16. Romans chapter 2, from 12 to 16. He said, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are judged before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have the law, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ, according to his gospel. So you see, God will judge every secret, and Christ will be the judge. And those who are faithful, those who have committed their life to Christ, they will be justified. See, when we talk about justification, that is why we always say that salvation is by grace. You are justified because you have believed in Christ. You have committed your entire life to Christ, and you've asked him to forgive you. So what Paul is saying here basically is that whether you have the law of God, as the Jewish have, because they had the law, or not, you are still held accountable and guilty to your sin. And remember in chapter 1, he says, the ways of God are written in creation itself. He said that through creation, he has revealed himself to us. And then through Christ, he has also revealed himself to us. So nobody is of any excuse. So you are all accountable to God and his way. God has shown himself to us in so many ways. But if you read what I've just read to you, you may think that we are talking about salvation by works. No. That's not what we are saying. Because Paul says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. James said the same thing in James chapter 1, verse 22. He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Here, if you read, you might think that James and Paul are contradicting themselves. No, no. They are actually complementing each other. You are coming to church, your service to God, all what you'll be doing will be as a result of your justification. You are justified by your belief in Christ. But when you have been justified, when your heart is changed, then the works will show that this man is justified. It is not the works that will justify you. The mission is there. So see, I demand kind of sin. I'm going to be chasing Paul or say, "I'm going to be a seven soon." Anna, a ready, a domo, obey on the ma. The moment you are more on Tianom in this. The wood Tiana, the wound is well. I guess the wound yet a ready back. Anna, yet, as soon as we begin, as soon as I'm over here, a ready back. As soon as I would be in there, and then the other answer say, the work and you man obey you and a betcher. Said the Yakuma assembly a young. Said the Obek Kang who Yakupon assembly and a betcher in Yakupon Eddie who burning at your path. One mouth at Makucho, Abbey in Makucho. Ugo has Sunday professor and energy. As they were struggle to come. And to go and look at the same person on Monday or Tuesday, how they will rush to their workplace. And yet coming to God's house becomes a problem. And yet they think that they are saved. These are the things that Paul is warning us. That your works will show that you have been justified. It is not your works that will justify you. But it is your works is showing by your justification. How do you treat God's word? How do you serve God? Do you come to church Sunday morning and that's it for the whole week? And you think that you are pleasing God? No. If you are justified, it must show in your works. It must show in how serious. I'm not saying anybody who doesn't come to work church Sunday twice. No. There are people with genuine reasons why they can, and God knows. But I'm just saying that if you are saved, you know what God has done for you. We'll be talking about this more in the evening. How he has redeemed you, and he redeemed you for himself, not for yourself. And then you are taking his work lightly. Then your justification is not true. That's the point that Paul is trying to make. He said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So James and Paul are not contradicting themselves. They are rather complementing each other. So God is the great impartial God. So verse 16, Paul talks about the judgment of God in sin. Even the sin that we keep in secret, sin that nobody knows, sin that is in the heart, God knows. And God will judge all those things. There was a quote that I read here that said, religious arrogance is not the way to escape God's judgment. And here he means people who are proud, that, oh, we pay our tithe, we go to church every Sunday, we go to prayer meeting, we go to Bible, and yet there's a sin in their heart. These are the ones that he's talking about. They are arrogant, they are outward show, but inside, that's what Christ was even warning about the Pharisees. The Pharisees at their time, people thought they were the right people. But Christ said, if your righteousness does not exceed the Pharisees, you can never enter into the kingdom of God. So friends, as we come to conclusion, let's think about these things. It is easier to see the sins of your brother than your own. Have you checked yourself properly that your heart is truly with God? Christ said the same thing in chapter 7, Matthew 7, verse 35. He says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how would thou see to thy brother? How would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mole out of thy hand, as out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the brother's eye. All Christ is saying is that look at your own self first. Look at your heart. Are you sincerely with God before you can talk about somebody's sin? So as we come to conclusion, I want us to know that we all need God. No matter who you are, you need God. You need your heart to be changed. In the same Matthew 7 verse 21 to 23, Christ said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see? People will even say on that day that we heal in your name. Those who claim to be healing in Christ's name. And we prophesy in your name. But Christ is saying that I will tell them that I don't know them. Not just knowing them. Look at what he said. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity here is talking about immorality, evil. So you who claim that you are healing by Christ, he is telling you that what you are doing the works of iniquity. Sin. So it's a serious thing. So friends, let's bring our sins to God. Let's come to him that will be made new and clean. God hates sin, remember, but he offers love to sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. So let's come to him tonight, this morning, and pray that God will take our sins away. First chapter 2 verse 24, he says, Peter says, Christ himself bare our sins in our body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. You see, so now, let's come before him, no matter who you are. Plead with him to cleanse you afresh from secret sins and known sins. If you haven't completely given your life to God, or even if you have given and there are some sins worrying you, that where do you go to? He came to take our sins away. He bore our sins and took them away. So we come to him and plead. The American said, come to him and die to your sins. He is the one who died for our sins. Let's pray.